you'll ever see.
Welcome back to Leatherheads Footy. My name is Morgan. On this episode, North Melbourne Kangaroos early 2023 preview. Before I get started, check out the episodes now on Spotify for the audio, Instagram if you want the visuals, and YouTube, obviously. Like and subscribe if you want to help out. But without further ado, let's get started. North Melbourne, new coach, Alistair Clarkson, super coach, comes into the team. First day at training with the new draftees and stuff this week. So very exciting for the club. Last year finished last, got the number one pick in the draft, second year in a row that they've had the number one pick. So they're obviously struggling on field. They made some really harsh list calls 2 years ago. They delisted a lot of players that were able to play at AFL level, but weren't going to win a premiership. And that was a message that Clarko's been really strong on coming into the club to start, is he's not just looking for guys that can play at AFL level. He's looking at for guys that can play in a premiership winning team. And that's really important. And hopefully we'll see a bit more of that ruthless edge when it comes to retaining players who they're looking to bring into the club and potentially playing younger guys, trying to look for those players that can become stars of the competition, not just guys that chug along and make the team each week, but don't necessarily bring anything special. So starting from the back line in this North Melbourne team, the key pillars are going to be Ben Mackay and Josh Walker. Ben Mackay, obviously quite a promising young key position player. Part of the promise, I think, is attached to his twin at Carlton, Harry Mackay, seeing what he's been able to do as a full forward. He's won the Coleman already. He's a monster of a man. I think they both are. Harry Mackay looks a little bit more talented. That's probably why he's playing as a forward. But Ben Mackay still, he's had some games. One game in particular where he got injured about halfway through, he was absolutely dominant taking intercept marks. And he's a really good key pillar to have. 200 centimetres, 100 kilos, can play on any tall forward. No one's going to be too big for him to play on. He does have that intercepting game and obviously not going to be a great kick of the footy at the size that he is, but he's still able to play that primary role, which is negating a key forward and taking intercept marks to start the Kangaroos' attack off halfback. And then Josh Walker, he's basically a filler piece at this stage, 30 years old, feels like he's been around for ages, played at Geelong, then moved up to Brisbane and now at North Melbourne. They'll be looking for another key defender. Don't really have anyone coming through. They've got a couple of tools in the forward line and ruck coming through, as we'll get to in a moment. Keep dropping my pen. But they don't really have that second really good tall defender. Griffin Logue, in my opinion, he's a third tall. Third tall, can play on the smaller types, offers a lot more run than your typical tall defender, and hopefully will get his intercept game going playing on a third tall. I don't think he's a second tall defender, like a real key defender. So Josh Walker's going to take that position for now. Griffin Logue, as I mentioned, came across from Fremantle. Looks like a really athletic defender. He's not, your sort of complete lockdown, although he does really good lockdown jobs, and he's played on Charlie Cameron. He can play on Buddy Franklin as well. So in those two matchups, Buddy Franklin and Charlie Cameron, you can see the range of opponents that he'll be able to take. As I mentioned, really athletic, left foot kick, solid, plays with a lot of confidence and flair, and I like that. But yeah, I don't think he's a lockdown defender. And then we get to our smalls. I've got Luke McDonald in there, won the BNF in 2020, so 2 years ago. He's just a solid player. I don't think he's ever going to be a star of the competition, but hopefully just offers a little bit of experience and poise down back. Locking down, maybe rebounding a little bit. He's a long kick. He doesn't look like he's got that touch short kicking, but he just kicks the ball long, and sometimes that's all you need to do out of the back line. I've got Josh Goda coming in off one promising game at the end of last year to add that real run and carry off halfback. He's got genuine pace. He's got a really good size as well at 190 centimetres, but not really an overhead player. He's a ground level guy, fantastic agility, got a wicked sidestep. I had him top 10 in my draft rankings for his draft just because he's really raw, but I think if he can get the AFL sort of systems and training into his skills, sharpen up his kicking a little bit and his sort of awareness of the game, he can be a real talent because he's already got all of those athletic attributes. He makes natural instinctive decisions that I think could set him apart. Looks like, well, at least previous coaching staff wanted to start him off halfback. I think he could be a fantastic midfielder, but with the Kangaroos having as much young midfield depth coming through as they do, I think starting off halfback is a good role for him, especially with that pace, because that's something that with Aaron Hall, I don't think being in their future plans, Goda can take that position and just see what he can turn into. Jackson Archer, I've got coming on as the third small defender. Aiden Corr and Bailey Scott in contention for that role. I think Corr just makes him a little bit too tall. With Logue coming in, I think he essentially takes Corr's position in the team. Potentially Corr could play for Walker. Corr's better at ground level, better kick. But I think Walker, you want him, he's stronger in the air than Corr is. So it's tough. One of these guys will end up on the bench. But I just put Archer in. I think he looked solid. He's in his first year, obviously famous dad, Jackson Archer, at the, Glenn Archer, is a Kangaroo great. So that always helps. He's going to get a little bit more opportunities, even if it is subconscious. But he looked like he was capable at AFL level, wasn't scared of the physicality. And I saw that he won the club's time trial on return to the club. So might be something to work with there. If nothing else, it's just giving a younger guy an opportunity to show what he's got. Bailey Scott's been on the list since 2018. So he's had a few opportunities, even though he offered a little bit. Looking deeper into his stats, probably not producing as much as you would want for a guy that's given free rein across halfback and has had now four seasons in the system and with the ball down there as much as it was. Yeah, I don't think he's anything special, but I think he will probably fit in there somewhere. We'll just have to wait and see. And Aiden Corr, sort of an undersized key defender. He's got a penetrating kick. That was one of the reasons that North spoke about for getting him across. But once again, I don't know. To be honest, it's pretty uninspiring backline. Apart from McKay and Logue, not a whole lot to build around. Hopefully Goda can turn into one of those really attacking defenders with flair off halfback. In the midfield, I think there's a lot more promise. There's plenty of young, high draft picks coming through. The Kangaroos have attacked the midfield in the recent drafts. You see that with LDU in 2017, Simpkin in 2016, Thomas in 2018, Powell and Phillips came in the 2020 draft. And in this most recent draft, they've gone after midfielders again. So there's something to work with there. Darcy Tucker's come across from Fremantle. And then in the rucks, they're in an awkward position because Goldstein is still probably their best ruckman, even though he's 34, 35 years of age. I think they've got to start looking towards the future. I've got Tristan Jerry in there. He started this season as sort of that main ruckman and then got injured. And after that, it was a little bit more of an even split. Goldstein playing forward and Jerry also swapping in and out with the forward line. He played a couple of good games. And he's had really big numbers at VFL level, but that's not unusual for an AFL-listed ruckman to have massive VFL games. I think the ruck competition in the VFL isn't very strong. So you often see guys that are averaging 40, 50 hitouts in the VFL come into the AFL and not impact that much. But 23, you've got to give him an opportunity. They've also got Jacob Edwards, number one pick in the mid-season draft from last year, 2021, who apparently, if he was in the open draft pool, would have been a top 15, top 10 talent. Maybe more of a forward. And then you've got Callum Coleman-Jones, who was brought across from Richmond at the end of last year. Hasn't really had much of a run. For me, I think he looks like a really good tall forward. He attacks the ball well in the air. He's got good hands and he's 200 centimetres. But he, I think, wants to play as the number one ruck. So it'll be interesting, the combination between Jerry and Coleman-Jones moving forward. Goldstein I've got in the forward line. We'll get to that in a moment. I still think he's a really good player, really smart. He's always been a good runner. And for a ruck, I think his decision-making, his disposal is fantastic. And then his hit-out work is also really strong. He's probably one of the more underrated players in the competition over the last 10, 15 years, in my opinion. But getting to this young midfield, the sort of pillar that they're all going to be building around to begin with is Ben Cunnington. Fantastic player when he's up and running. Really, really strong. Incredible handball power and accuracy. He's got an awesome fend, and he's the main guy to receive the ball at stoppage, and then he'll feed it out. He's also a good kick. You look at him, you wouldn't necessarily expect that, but he's definitely solid by foot and makes good decisions, offers composure, offers experience and physical presence in that midfield that the Kangaroos will be looking for. They really missed him this year. With him missing basically the whole year and Tarrant being traded to Richmond, I think they really missed the experience of those two guys as leaders. More like, first and foremost, I think they're leaders in their position. And then secondly, the actual playing ability that they bring. So he's the main guy. I've got that on-ball rotation. Then Luke Davies-Uniacke and Jai Simpkin. guys that were picked in consecutive drafts. I think Simpkin picked 12 back in 2016, and then Davis Uniacke the year after picked 4 in 2017. LDU is that real power, big body mid that can burst out the front of the stoppage and get those damaging clearances. He's got a little bit of twinkle toes about him, got a good sidestep, and he was really starting to exert his influence on the game towards the second half of this season. It'll be really exciting to see what he can do when Clarkson comes into the team. I think you've got to have him in that midfield. He played some huge games. It'll just be interesting to see whether maybe Clarko's a little bit stricter around playing team first footy. He might have been given a bit of free rein towards the end of the year. Just go in there and win the footy. They weren't winning games. So it might change a little bit, but I think he's a guy that can definitely, with his frame at the moment, he's got to the stage where he can compete at AFL level with the physicality. He's got the pace to come out of the stoppage. He can apply tackling pressure, and his disposal is pretty good by foot. Was also pushing forward to kick goals. Simpkin is, I think, more dynamic laterally and stronger in the air than LDU is, and probably better at releasing handball. Simpkin's inside work's fantastic. With that agility and his quick handball work, he's really good at getting a disposal out when a lot of players wouldn't have, getting around a tackler and really releasing from the stoppage. Doesn't have heaps of acceleration, it looks like, but with that sideways movement, he can be quite hard to tackle and track down. I think that's a good mix, really. You've got Cunnington, who's not really quick, but he's that real strength, like rock solid, stand there, hit the ball down to him, he'll get it out somehow. David Uniacke can apply tackling pressure and burst out the front of the stoppage, and then Simpkin can sit at the back with a sidestep, he's got really good vision with his handball too, so releasing a handball over the top, get someone out in space who can kick the ball inside 50. Then getting out to the wings, I've got Taron Thomas on one wing. I think definitely an outside player, either a half forward flanker or a winger. He can play on ball, but I think his kicking is elite in this team. So I think you want him kicking the ball as much as possible, and where he'll be able to do that is out on the wing. And he just covers the ground effortlessly, I think. A little bit like Brad Hill, maybe, although arguably Thomas is a little bit more skillful, can kick a goal. Got a few more tricks than Brad Hill. He can be that really damaging outside ball winner uncontested, and then pushing hard, gaining lots of meters, and delivering with good kicking skills. Darcy Tucker I've got on the other wing to start. He's another guy that can push inside. If they want another bigger bodied mid inside, he can do that. But another guy that can work hard. He's got really good work rate on the outside. Awkward looking kick, but effective enough, and can push into the inside mid rotation if needed. And then on the bench, I've got two guys that will probably play a mix of wing and on ball. Maybe a little bit of half forward, but I think wing and on ball would be better for them in Powell and Will Phillips. Powell, kind of similar player to Jai Simpkin. His real trick is his handball. His handball craft is fantastic. He's got clean hands, but he just gets the ball in his hands and gets it out so quickly. Got fantastic vision and hits targets left and right hand handballing. Hasn't quite adapted to the physicality at AFL level. He dominated the Sandful under 18s, picked up 35 disposals per game, had a few big games, like 50 disposal games, kick goals, but with the nature of that competition, he was able to do that without encountering much physical pressure. And then at AFL level, he looks like he's struggled a little bit. Hasn't quite put on the size and hasn't really got the mentality around the physicality that AFL level brings. But I think he's super, super talent. Really, really. A guy that will be a fantastic inside mid in years to come. Hopefully develop into a bit of a Clayton Oliver, but he really needs to step up the physical side of his game. He's got the touch side of his game down pat and the handballing. I think his vision's really good, his decision-making's good, but yeah, he struggles, just looks a little bit timid at the moment. And then Will Phillips, who definitely has the physical side of his game. He has really, really good acceleration, was like a 2.8, in that range, 2.8, 2.9, over 20 metres in his draft year. Pick 3, looked like a bit of a reach at the time. Potentially Logan McDonald as a key forward could have come in. And Denger Granger-Barras was also in that draft, and in hindsight, maybe they would have preferred one of those guys, but both of them being WA talent, maybe they preferred a Vic guy who, not as much of a risk of going home. Phillips missed the whole year due to glandular fever, but apparently come back really fit, and I think we'll be given opportunities. He's a future captain of the club, came in with huge raps on his leadership, so hopefully can be brought into the team and really impact early. And in the forward line, it's a real sort of mishmash forward line, apart from a couple of guys. A few guys showing promise, but you've got guys towards the end of their career. And yeah, as for the defence, it's pretty uninspiring, really. Hopefully Clarkson can inspire a bit of magic and find something in these Kangaroos players that we haven't seen yet. The keys are going to be Larky and Zerha with Goldstein there a little bit. Larky, obviously, that key forward. Really good. I think he's a pick 70, so fantastic value really late in the draft. He's just come along slowly, and to kick bags of goals as he's done in a team that struggled is really, really impressive. He's just super efficient. He doesn't do anything flashy, but he just knows when to lead. He's really worked on that forward craft. He's got strong hands, and then he always converts his set shots. Got a simple set shot routine, doesn't kick the ball too hard, but still kicks through it. So he's like a little bit like a Ben Brown, I guess. Zerha, he's more of that X-factor guy, powerful, like players like a Drake Stringer out of full forward or a Jordan Ngoi, but also offers a lot of tackling pressure, which I think the fans love. And yeah, North Melbourne and AFL fans alike just love what he brings. He plays with real enthusiasm and zest, whatever that means, puts the heat on, loves hurting people, laying big crunching tackles, but he's also skillful. He's got a really powerful kick, knows where the goals are and isn't afraid to take them on, and often finishes, has kicked a couple of big bags as well. So we'll see what holds for Cam Zerha in the future. And then Goldstein, he's a guy that can take a contested mark at his height. He's just got that now, years and years in the system. I think he's edging closer to 300 games now. So he just knows what to do. He's got really good hands, and I think still has the smarts, his wit is quick enough to cope with the speed at AFL level, even though his body is going to be slowing down. Then we get to the smaller types. Zeeble I've got as sort of a hit up forward. Really, really strong hands and a powerful kick. Definitely not as quick as he used to be, and I don't think he was ever that quick to begin with, but we want him there for a little bit of experience, potentially captaining the team. We'll wait and see what Clarko wants to do. But I've got him on the half forward flank, pushing up, offering a bit like Zerha, more pressure around the ball, physicality around the ball. And then two guys, Curtis I thought was really impressive in his first year, really silky left footer, got a lot of shots at goal, impressive for a first year player and in a struggling team as well. Looks like he knows where to lead and just looked completely comfortable and natural at AFL level. So I think they've found one in him. That's an exciting talent locked into the forward line for the next 15 years. And then Curtis Taylor is strong overhead. He's a good runner. He actually played in the midfield this year, but I couldn't really find a spot for him there. So I've pushed him forward where hopefully he can use that leap. And yeah, sort of a rangy type, a little bit like a Will Hoskin-Elliott. We'll see, maybe have a similar career to him. And then on the bench, I've gotten for two small guys because with Goldstein, Larky, Zerha, Zeeble, I think they're lacking a little bit of pace and forward pressure. So Stevenson and Lazaro in the forward line. Stevenson feels like he's had a huge career already with all of the, I guess, drama news around him. Came on, burst on the scene, won the Rising Star in 2018, kicked like 40 goals in his first year, played in a grand final, playing at full forward essentially for Collingwood. Jamie Elliott was injured, I think, so he sort of took on that role, got incredible speed, loves running and carrying with the ball, and he can finish well, composed, but he looks like he's lacking confidence at the moment. Betting scandal a little while back at Collingwood, and then put on the trade table, and he didn't necessarily want to leave. Doesn't seem like he's really adapted to the professional lifestyle at AFL, like hasn't quite got his diet right, still hasn't really put on any size from his draft year. And there were a few defensive moments last year that really highlighted a few deficiencies in his game. So hopefully Clarko can get into him what you need to do to perform at AFL level professionally off field as much as on field, and turn who's undeniably a talent into a player that produces week in, week out. And then Lazaro, probably quite the opposite of Stevenson. Doesn't look like he's got heaps of athletic ability, but he looks 100% committed to the team every time he plays. Saw clips of him in team meetings. He's always at the front of the huddle, like dead serious eye contact with the coach. Looks intent on learning and giving 100%. And you love that. And looks like he's got a little bit of ability too. Clean hands, sort of lively around the contest. And he can be a guy that crumbs and then offers that tackling pressure. guys like him, if they're picked in the team, they know exactly what they have to do, and normally they're pretty committed to that in just bringing that relentless forward pressure. So, a bit of a longer one for North Melbourne. It's a really tricky team to pick. Apart from the midfield, very tricky to pick, and I think there's a fair bit of work to do. They'll be getting a few high draft picks over the next few years, you'll think, but yeah, there's a lot of work to do, but there is also quite a bit of time with the age of the young talent that they've got in the team. I think they've probably got 3-4 years before they're going to have to start competing and really be in that sweet spot for the age demographic. Obviously, a watch, yeah. Don't know what else to say, really. It's not inspiring at the moment, but I think with that young midfield group, things turn quickly, and it'll be really impressive, well, potentially impressive, to see how much of an impact a coach as well-regarded as Clarkson can have on a team that has looked like they're playing without any sort of heart or reason for parts of the last 2 years. Thanks for listening. See you next time.